started their annual NCAA March Madness tournament pool. And some of you have a pool. Raise your hand. How many of you are doing a pool this year? Very few. How many have ever done a pool? Not that many. How many of you don't like basketball? Oh, that's okay. I don't watch much college basketball, so for me, it's all a joke. I mean, it's all kind of guessing game. And so I was trying to make my decisions based on, you know, who was good when I was young, or maybe what mascot is the coolest one. It's not the most scientific way. But you've got to make up your mind. You've got to finally decide. You've got to pick every game, the outcome of every game, before the tournament starts. So I went back and forth, trying to make my NCAA March Madness picks. My brother sent out an update of the first round, and that's a screenshot of the ranking. Some of you are squinting, but I'll tell you, I'm not even on that ranking. It didn't fit in the screenshot. I think I'm number 18 out of 19. We don't always get it right, when we make our decisions. So that's why we kind of circle around when we try to get close to what the right thing to do would be. Maybe you've been around the kitchen in your house, 8 or 9 p.m., kind of lurking near the refrigerator. Maybe you're thinking, I'd like a snack, but I want to have healthy habits. Is there any fruit available? And then you say, well, let me open the cabinet and every fridge and every freezer, and you look around until you finally circle towards what you wanted to have in the first place, that piece of extra cake. You know what I mean? Or that bowl of cereal, in my case. You've got to make a decision. Have you ever opened a shopping portal? Online, maybe like Amazon or some kind of e-commerce thing, and you're thinking about something you want to buy, so you kind of click around. You know, you kind of circle around it. Well, I want these shoes. What color, what size, what style, what price point? Maybe you go click, click, click all around. Sometimes I'll even say I'm going to buy something and put it into the cart and then leave it. You know, close the window. Just let it sit for a couple of days. Eventually, you come back and you've got to make your final decision. Some decision points are more important than that. I once watched a young man pacing back and forth, mumbling to himself. He looked like he was going to be sick, back and forth. Finally, he stiffened up, and he walked down onto the beach, and he got down on one knee, and he pulled out a ring, and he asked the girl to marry him. Some of you are at the time in your life where you have big decisions ahead around college, and a lot of students are waiting to hear what's coming up next year. What's the right decision to make for where you're going to go? And it makes a big deal in the future of your life. There's a man in our church recently who told me he was thinking about staging an intervention for a family member who was dealing with addiction. And he had a hard decision to make, how best to support the one he loves. And in the end, he decided to have a hard conversation and to initiate that talk. And he ended up with this family member entering a residential treatment program. A good decision, but a hard one to make. Medical decisions can be like this. There's a woman in our church, as some of you know, who has pancreatic cancer. She told me that she's going to begin chemotherapy. And the doctors told her what's involved, how sick she's going to feel, how vulnerable she would be to germs, even just a common cold, how weak it would leave her. There's a lot of pain in the decision to go forward into chemo. And yet she decided that even though it would be really hard on her, it's the right thing to do. In our story today, in the Bible, we're hearing about Jesus in that familiar scene of the triumphal entry in Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday. That's because of the way people went and cut down palm branches along the roadside, and they laid them on the ground. And they took off their cloaks, and they put them down on the ground as well. Jesus was coming along, and they wanted to honor him. They didn't want his donkey even walking on the dirt. So this is a story that shows up in all four of the Gospels in a different form. And in a way, all of Jesus' life led up to this one week. With the palms and the donkey riding, it's very clear in the story that Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. We see how he's the chosen one, the person of God who's sent into the city. We see how Jesus sends his disciples ahead to pick up the donkey, which means he's thinking logistically. He's thinking about the approach. He's thinking about the symbolic meaning of what he's doing. Jesus does not arrive in Jerusalem as a passive person or a passenger on a runaway train. Jesus comes as he gets closer and closer, circling toward a decision he has to make. Will he fully and finally commit to what he believes is God's will for his life. The cross is at the end of the week, but he's already known about that. Jesus taught his disciples this. He said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Another place Jesus says, for this reason my Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. He clearly knows what is coming up ahead. He has talked about his death and used terms like these: no one will take my life, I give it up. He sacrifices himself. And so as he enters Jerusalem on this final week, he is nearly done with the ins and outs. He's almost to the point of no return. He's making a decision to go where God wants him to go. So I wonder today what all of this means for us, as we understand how Jesus himself circled around being fully committed to following God's will, the way that he understood the pain and hardship that could be involved in what God was asking him to do, but the way that Jesus decides to do it anyway, to trust God as he made those big decisions. So I wonder for you, any of you here today, circling around a big decision in your life, something that you're trying to figure out what to do. Maybe it's a pain point or an unresolved situation. Maybe you're trying to figure out what's your next right step. So I want to encourage you today that if we take Jesus as our guide, we can see that doing the right thing often is the hardest thing. There can be pain involved. But if we know that we're being led in the right way, we can still take that step. Living and speaking and acting in ways that God is calling us to do, it holds great promise. I was in Atlanta, Georgia this week, and I heard a story about a guy named Charles Foreman. I'll show you his picture here. He wasn't in Atlanta with me. He was from Kentucky, and in 1847, he graduated from Princeton Theological Seminary, and on the same day as his graduation, he left to set sail as a missionary to East India, in what would later become the nation of Pakistan. And he founded the first English language school in the Punjab, which would later grow to become Foreman Christian College. And when he died in 1894, it was still a pretty modest missionary outpost out there in the middle of nowhere. But after his death and over the years, the school developed to become what it is today. It's a school in Lahore, Pakistan, that educates both girls and boys, very rare in this nation. It educates Muslims and Christians and Sikhs across all different tribes and groups of Pakistan. It's one of the missions that our church supports financially because we want to see people's lives impacted, blessed, and changed through education, especially for girls, through interfaith relationships, and by encouraging the global church. And I mention it today because Charles Foreman, this old guy, he never got to see the fruit of his labor. But he made a decision for how he wanted to live out his life and his calling in his time. And Jesus does that on Palm Sunday. He makes the decision to come into Jerusalem and to begin the events that would ultimately lead him to the cross. So as we follow him into this week, we are also called to live out our faith in the ways that God is asking us to do. Jesus came to Jerusalem many times. He walked in and he left again. He circled around the final decision that would cost him everything, even his life. In the end, he faithfully steps into the place where God wants him to go, and we're asked to do the same thing. Have you ever had to make up your mind? Pick up on one and leave the other one behind? It's not often easy. It's not often kind. Have you ever had to make up your mind? God bless you as you follow Jesus into this week to come. Amen.